So
yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, we'll post it on the front page. That's great. Okay, let's have some fun. Here we go. Where are we doing? I don't know. Here we go. It's so I don't know. It's Monday, you know.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Yep. Oh, boy. Monday.
Good morning. Yeah. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning, all. I hope you're doing good. Boy, it's been one of those July so far. High 90s, hot every day. The Rain Angels, we talk to them every night. Okay, guys, girls, come on, you can do it. So I know they're around the corner. We could really use a lot of it, some of it, a little. We'll take anything. We're going to talk about inflammation tomorrow. Doctor with the deflame diet. Oh, we're going to deflame our bodies with de-inflame. Good. Also, ego, the greatest obstacle to healing. Lisa Borabo, I'll agree with that. Ego, the greatest obstacle to healing. That's tomorrow. We're going to do some things on EMFs on Thursday. Andrew Goss on Wednesday. Open phone Friday. And today, the second Monday of the month, we throw caution to the wind. And we really just do it. Throw caution to the wind and have Tony Pantelleresco on for a couple of hours because Tony's a handful. You just never know what's going to happen with Tony P. He's just a guy that knows a lot of stuff about health and research and stuff, and he sent me two really cool things already this morning. So you've been a busy guy on the internet, Tony Pantelleresco. What's up with that?
Oh, it's a 24/7 deal with me. The that thing I sent you with Italy.
Yeah,
that's tell just folks phenomenal.
Okay, let me read a little bit of this story. Let me give you a heads up. I just saw it about 5 minutes ago. Millions of Italians rise up against a new mandatory vaccination law. You should see some of the pictures. I mean, billions of people in many cities in Italy, whatever, evidently what they did, Tony and everybody, they passed, or this is a proposed law. Okay, it's a proposed law to make 53 doses mandatory for all kids, and you can't get into school, much like they've done in California, Tony. So, and what's curious about the story that you sent, appreciate, we'll post it on the website. It's in a lot of cities, so you're talking about a lot of people, big demonstration in the media, of course. Well, they're just not covering it. Are we surprised?
Well, the other thing about that's interesting, they state that in that page,
yeah,
is that they will take away the kids. What government has the right to violate a personal choice and freedom, and especially the right to take away your child because they refuse to take in harmful chemicals? I understand if the parents are, beating the hell out of the kids and stuff like that.
Sure.
They need to be saved. But this is not something that is in any way, shape, or form violating a child in any way. It's protecting the child. So this is kind of an oxymoron that the government would say, if you don't get vaccinated, if you don't vaccinate your children, they not only will not be able to go to school, but we will take them away from you.
Yeah.
So I think they need to do something with the government.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
So do I. Well, they passed this in California, and it's amazing to me, Tony, that the California people are putting up with it. But there hasn't been – I haven't heard a lot of pushback. But, of course, in media, you never know what's really going on. So I don't know how bad they're pushing back. But – yeah, and you're correct. The governments around the world, they have no right to tell you what to put in your body. I do know that people in different states have had great success with being very simple. This is against my religion, and that's it. And they walk. I think you go to the religious thing. I can't say for sure it's going to work for everybody, but if somebody's trying to force you to put something in your body.
It's a matter of conscience. It's a matter of health because if you take the vaccine, it could cause more health issues. Or again, religious freedoms or
and you could do all three. So, you could do all three if you want, right? Just do all three.
And I think in the United States as well, I think the same three principles are applicable there too. Each state has their own thing, but I think that is, except for like you said, California, and I don't know what's wrong with that. I think too much wacky tobacky myself, but that's my opinion.
You know, I think it's, I'm not sure what's going on. But you know, what's curious about California, I don't know if you saw a big story. As of Friday, the 7th of July, the California, which is the fifth largest economy, big deal, declared glyphosate Roundup a cancer-causing agent officially for the state. And boy, Monsanto is fit to be tied. So if that sticks, it's going to be a body blow to Monsanto. This is the fifth largest economy saying this is a cancer-causing agent. So California has its moments, Tony.
Oh, it does. I mean, but we'll see what happens there, too, because they've tried something like that before. You got to remember, Monsanto now is not Monsanto anymore. They're Bayer. Bayer bought them.
We realize that, yeah. A big company. German company, right? Yeah. German company.
Yep. So, yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of hokey pokey going on.
Oh, baby. They're going to lawyer up, and, you know, they're going to do everything they can. But, you know, I think the science is there on the GMOs, and if they get a fair hearing, I think they'll prevail. And well, let's hope so anyway, because that would be a big, big hit on the old GMO thing. Tony Pantelaresco, if you care to join the show, Patrick Timpone, and Tony, it is Monday. Here's how to do it. Telephone number, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Tony, we're having a really challenging time here with fleas. Just hot and dry, you know, not good. And I'm using some Wonderside, which is a kind of a cedar thing spray on it. Works pretty good. But I remember this morning you talked about B2. And I pulled some out of the cabinet that I purchased. And I have to say, I really didn't do it ongoing after I bought it. Duh. Do you have an idea on the dose? I gave her 100 milligrams today. Do you have any? Is there any experience? I know this is out of your...
How big's the dog?
She's 75 pounds.
Yeah. You
can Pretty good one.
Two or three a day is no problem.
No problem. So the B2, what does that do for doggies, for ticks? Fleas?
Everybody, what it does is it emits a scent from your body that acts as a natural repellent.
Uh-huh.
You can also use black pepper.
Black pepper, really?
Black pepper, yeah, because the piperine does the same thing. It you don't smell it, but the insect smelled and what's exuding out of your pores. That's what attracts these insects to you in the first place. Let's say you're eating a lot of meat and heavy meat. So when you go out, you're exuding that scent. Again, you're not picking it up, but they do. They sense that, okay, they smell that something's dead. So it brings it right to you. So a lot of times I tell people, you're going to go camping or whatever, take some peppermint or and then swab your mouth so that you absorb that in the system too, so that you can mask the scent of that meat that you've eaten.
Oh, yeah. I've heard over the years, and I think it's played out with different people. For example, people that eat a lot of sugar, they have more issues with mosquitoes. I found that to be true because they don't bother me at all. I mean, they just don't bite me, but I don't eat any sugar, you know. So, yeah. And in St. Louis, I know as kids, even my mom used to say, well, you're eating too much sugar. Mom, the mosquitoes are biting. Well, quit eating so much sugar. My mom knew that. How did she know that?
Your mom.
How did she know
smart
that?
Woman.
How did she know that?
She was a smart woman.
How did she know that? Hey, Tony P., I thought I'd ask you right off. You know, as you know, you've aligned us with a lot of landmines out there, air, water. You know, we know, you know, and you're on it, and there's a lot of it. I want to talk a bit about liver. Is it a correct assumption, conjecture, that this is the main dude and dudette in our body that helps the body to detoxify, whether it be aluminum or glyphosates? And if so, can you maybe work out a little daily thing that maybe everybody could do without hurting themselves, just to keep detox from all the creepy crawlies that we're dealing with these days?
Cheapest detox you can do for the current situation we're in with chemtrails, glyphosate, genetics, nanotechnology is Epsom salt.
Mm, really?
K- Okay. Yeah.
No kidding. Why is that?
Well, you have a sulfur compound to it. So you got to remember, it's magnesium sulfate. So what you got, and then if you want to add borax to that or boron, you can do that too. And this works in a real good combination for everything, basically. The boron amplifies the effect of magnesium by a factor of 13. So then any aluminum you have in the body, the magnesium itself will force that out. The boron or the borax and the sulfur will also help the body detoxify from radiation, which we're also getting coming down on us from the strontium and the thorium in the jet fuel. So plus whatever's on the ground as well, plus the coal stacks have been releasing radionucleotides. So this is another way of protecting your skeletal structure, your mitochondria. You know, magnesium produces ATP for the heart. And then the sulfur does its thing in the liver as well. So that's the cheapest, easiest way to get it. I had somebody call me the other day. This is, and I'm putting it out there so that people don't become stupid. They're now trying to promote something in the advertisements that there is an oral form of magnesium Epsom salt.
Oh, there is.
They're all oral form. You can use all of them.
Sure, people do Epsom salts to clean out their bowels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this is. But again, I'm just.
Oh, I see. Somebody's selling it. Somebody's selling it. Is what you're saying? Okay. Yeah. It's the same thing as you get with the cheap Epsom salts, right?
Yeah. Right. So this is what I'm trying to throw out there, so that people don't get confused when they hear someone saying, "Well, we have an oral kind." Yeah. They're all orally usable, so you know.
That's right. Yeah, we have an oral kind. This is, it only costs you $20 more, but we have an oral.
Yeah,
kind.
That's it. Exactly.
We have
exactly.
an oral kind. So let me ask you before we go, leave this subject. So the sulfur, of course, keeps coming up. People love this. Talk about your experience with the sulfur itself, all commonly known as MSM. Does it work? You mentioned, I've never heard this, it actually works through the liver to help detoxify stuff?
Oh, yeah. It converts to glutathione eventually. It goes MSM to methionine to cysteine, which cysteine converts directly to glutathione. So, yeah, for sure. MSM, sulfur MSM, when you're looking at that, and you actually do the research on that, it's an incredible product. It also produces DMSO in the body. So anything you take with it, it's going to impact the uptake even more readily. It actually can help heal the colon from a lot of the colon issues, a lot of these itis issues. It's one of the things that you can use as well for healing this. So, and then again, you combine it with B1, again, it too amplifies B1 by a factor of 13. So if you're an athlete, B1 is a power vitamin. It's one of the ones that gives you your strength and power. So by incorporating even B12 with it, it actually makes them work better. So some people can't take MSM or sulfur because they have a low B12 in the gut. So sometimes they'll react to taking sulfur. So if you, again, to mitigate that, you could use B12 in a fermented, like a yogurt or cottage cheese. Cottage cheese actually is better because it makes the B12 more readily available in the colon. And again, cottage cheese also has high levels of glutamine, which can help offset psoriasis and some other skin issues that people are having to deal with. So
very interesting.
This is something.
So I don't know. I don't understand as much as I like hearing it because we promote this product, the sulfur, pure sulfur. How could the sulfur affect? You said the gut, the integrity. Did you say like IBS and Crohn's and stuff like that?
Yeah.
How could it do that?
It's what it does. I mean, quercetin is another sulfur-based.
Quercetin.
It's a bioflavonoid, but it's a sulfur-based bioflavonoid. It too helps in healing the colon. There's four or five things that people can take: colostrum, MSM or sulfur, quercetin, oleic acid. I just talked about that on the podcast last night. These all have ways and means of healing the colon from the damage of consuming smart dust, nanoparticles.
Smart dust. That's the first time I've heard that one. Okay, but I don't want to get you off track here, and then we'll ask about smart dust. So the sulfur and it works through the colon, the glutathione, that whole system.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Okay.
It's because it's just simple. It's just chemistry. You know, it's all it basically boils down to.
Yeah.
So as it converts. Now this is the other interesting thing. The MSM, because it converts to DMSO, can help also take nutrients into the brain, because we have a blood-brain barrier, but we also produce DMSO so that things can go from the liver right to the brain. So by, again, consuming it and using some of the nootropics, for instance, it'll help drive the nootropic more readily into the brain as well. So there's a lot that this thing does. You know, I get people all the time who, for instance, have allergies. I get them on high doses of vitamin C, 2 grams of vitamin C, 1 gram of MSM. I have them do that several times a day, at least 5 times a day, and change the diet, obviously.
Wow. How much sulfur are they taking? You said how much?
A gram 5 times a day.
A gram 5 times a day. What's a gram in sulfur terms?
One fifth of a teaspoon.
Oh, okay. That's not that much. I'm sorry. No, that's not that much. So just 1/5. But you, as you said, with taking these things, you like to take it 4 or 5 times a day rather than twice a day, as we recommend for a sulfur, right?
It depends. If you're doing it like twice a day, that's a maintenance dose is what I would say.
I see. So now, if you really want to
juice.
That's
okay. Usually if you're just taking MSM by itself, you're using a teaspoon. Mm-hmm. But when you combine it with the vitamin C, you don't need to take as much because they work in certain with synergy and they amplify each other.
From a mad scientist point of view, which you are, we call you the closet scientist. That's one of my neighbors called. Oh, you're going to have the closet scientist on, Tony? Yeah, we're going to have one. Why is it that when they do the silicone dioxide and almost all the MSMs out there, which is why ours doesn't have it in there, you know, it's difficult to find a sulfur without silicone dioxide. What does that do to make it not work so well? Why could a little thing like silicone dioxide screw it up so badly?
That's not a little thing, number one. It's a very toxic metal. All this dimatous earth that everybody's using, all these vitamins that have the silicon dioxide in it, this is an extremely lethal metal. Hmm. What it does is when it gets into the blood cells, it actually creates a circuit. This is one of the few things that they don't need to amplify with a frequency to activate. This does it on its own.
Yeah, right.
And once it activates and starts building the circuitry, then it attaches itself to other silica in the body. And then what it does, it shuts down cellular communication between the cells. So this is one reason why it doesn't work, because nothing can communicate.
Talk to me like I'm a golden retriever. I'd like to understand that better, but I kind of lost you a little bit. So silicone dioxide in a product like most of the sulfurs out there. What does the silicone dioxide do in the body?
Again, it creates a short circuit. Okay, your brain and your gut now can't communicate because the cells in the gut have been turned off. Yeah, if the silica gets into the brain is not even communicating with itself. You know how people get sometimes all loopy and spacey and whatever?
Kind of like you and me every day, kind of like that?
Something like that. Well, I drink my coffee to keep me going. But anyway, when you've got that going on in the system, I've been, like, because of the nano research I've done, I went all the way back to 1960, and this is when they initiated silicon dioxide in the food supply.
1980?
And then 1960. And when you looked at what they did, they put it in every grain out there. It doesn't matter what it is, has the silicon dioxide in it.
A grain?
And then grains were the number one thing they hit. Buckwheat, millet.
Are you talking about barley. The grains that you get the hippie food store, the orgasmic ones?
Yep. Yeah.
But they don't put that. There's no label that says silicone dioxide.
They don't have to label it.
Oh, good.
They don't have to label it.
Oh, good. That's good.
So when I found this thing, I just about fell off my chair, because when you looked at the wonderful impact. Now, and this is the other thing too. They got it passed through grass.
Generally regarded as safe grass.
Safe.
Yes.
And they never, ever tested it.
Well, of course. We can't be testing that stuff.
Well, they were gonna test it for the cattle and for the livestock. And they said, oh, no, no. They waved it off. Then they were going to test it for, human consumption. No, no, no. They waved it off. And the reason why they waved it off was because it's ubiquitous in nature.
Oh, that I was see. The only it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Anyway, yeah.
So, but the thing is, when you're looking at that and you look at the chemistry it does to us, it's not that good. Number one, you can't even break it down. So what happens is when it's that small and mixed with that kind of stuff, like I said, MSM, converts to DMSO. DMSO is a solvent that allows better penetration into the cells and tissue. Mm-hmm. So this would deliver this right into the cells, which would augment the initiating for it to build its circuitry. So what winds up happening, people take dimethyl sulfate, for instance, for their guts because they got some kind of issue going on in the lower intestine. What's really happening there is it's not doing anything for the gut except shutting down the communications network. So you still have an ongoing gut being damaged by whatever's damaging it, and this is basically just shutting off. It's like taking an analgesic or a painkiller that shuts the pain receptors.
Oh, so
and
that's it could, what this it is could be a symptomatic thing for a while that's just making it worse.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So like I said, when you're looking at this stuff, none of the products really work that they're selling with silica. And if they're selling horsetail, the reason why they're seeing anything with the horsetail is horsetail is really dense in nutrients, and it has a saponin content to it too, which will transport those nutrients more readily into the cells as well. But like I said, whether it's a grown silica that that's a herb that has a high concentration of it, or whether it's an amorphous form, like powdered form, it doesn't. Again, you can't break it down. You don't. There's only three ways you can take silica into the system. You can either use a phosphoric acid, silic acid, or a saponin, or again, like something like a DMSO, a solvent that will penetrate the cells. That's the only way. You can't break it down in the gut. You have no way of breaking down. Any acid your body produces will not touch this.
Wow.
So
don't that has that in there, just don't go anywhere near that.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
That's a good idea. Tony Pantelaresco, we just got an email from somebody over in Europe. France has the same mandatory vaccine starting January 2018, but there's not too much talk about it here in France. Wow. Man, it's worldwide. This is probably part of that agenda, whatever, right? All the whole Agenda 21 stuff, I guess. You know, it's a worldwide thing. Huh? They want everybody vaxxed.
Well, it's the easiest way to put nanotechnology into you, so you have a tracking device inside your body. And we talked about this before when you've had people come up to you and said they've been targeted individuals or had chips in their system. A lot of these chips are being assembled as we're speaking because of the nano we've taken in. While you get an injection in you today, all these injections are nano-delivered. And so they're putting little tiny robots inside these things, which now can attach directly to your genetic code and to the double helix that you have. So when you're looking at what this is all really about, this is about basically mutating the human race, because any vaccine you give a human – you cause serious mutations in the biology of the human being.
Because
the metals alone cause...
You got the metals, but then you're talking about the nano-delivery system is doing something to the genes and the DNA and making transhumanism. So do you believe there are forces, dark forces, way up there, that this is their vision for maybe 10, 20, 30 years from now? We're all transhuman?
I think it's a... This is my take on it. Putting all this stuff into people... excuse me. And I think it's a weeding out process. The strong will survive, the weak will die.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that whole...
That's my thinking on this. But again, even when you're talking the genetics part of this, anytime you put an animal genetic in a vaccine, you are now integrating that genetic code into the human genome. So this is altering, again, what a human being is supposed to be. And then when you're looking at what these vaccines actually do, they shut down the communication network between the RNA and the proteins that are required to trigger an immune response. So as a result, the proteins are wiped out and the DNA can't call on a protein, or the DNA has been programmed not to ignore what's coming in, because now it's been integrated into the body. So therefore, it doesn't send out the signals to stimulate an immune response. So the proteins are either dormant or gone, or the RNA has been, again, turned off. So this is all mutation. Okay, a lot of these health issues that we have today, when we were kids, we had five vaccines, maybe six, and they were spaced out one a year.
Yes, they were.
So that the immune system could have a chance to adjust and rebound back. Now they're dumping, anywhere from 40 to 70 vaccines at a time, in different clumps, and never has vaccines ever been tested? This is the one interesting thing about it. I looked high and low.
They don't. Yeah, they're not. Long-term tests, too. And you know what, Tony? There have never been a double-blind study test with non-vaccinated and vaccinated kids over a long period of time. They've never done that comparison? Never.
No, why would they?
Oh, well, yeah, because you know what the result would be.
Yeah. They like I said, when you're looking at, there was a video done in 1980 in Australia, and they used the American studies on vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And when they actually looked and analyzed the studies, they found every time there was a pathology that was out there causing problems, it was on its way down on its own. In other words, people's immune system had kicked in, and they were able to fight off whatever was being infected.
But then
when they gave the vaccine, it surged right back up again. They did that with polio, and they did that with pertussis. And so they saw that when the pertussis was going down, whooping cough, that all of a sudden when they gave the vaccine, it shot higher than it was before. So they basically were infecting people with these things. And the polio was a big fiasco. That's our generation that got popped with that. And when they gave that, they were supposed to be dead culture. They weren't. The cultures were very much alive and well, and they knew one of the doctors there tried to get it stopped. She was she was on the staff, and she was looking at this thing. She wanted to double check to make sure everything was fine, checked the materials, checked everything under a scope, and saw that the culture was very, very much alive and active. And so she tried to get it to stop, but the doctors overruled and kicked her out, and they released it on the market. Because they're, at the time, I guess Merck or whoever put it out there was going to make a boatload of money. But like I said, the mutation process started with our generation. I always, because when I'm doing a lot of videos and stuff now, I target those people born in the 50s, primarily. The ones in the 40s squeezed by, but the 50s, we were the prototype. We were the prototype of everything that's gone on today. So when you're even looking at the issues today, like with transgender, that's 50 years of genetically engineering the food supply and everything else that's caused this chromosome damage that you're seeing. Because what you're seeing are compromised people with chromosome damage.
Oh, so then on the outer, their body isn't working like it should, and then they start questioning whether or not, gosh, am I a boy, am I a girl, or all that?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
At the point of conception there, that's when the sex is decided. But if that switch is left on, so you got both going, and you got an extra X chromosome or an extra Y chromosome, well, you're going to have a problem. And over the years, we have been loaded up with endocrine-disrupting chemicals. The glyphosate is a big one. Atrazine was horrendous for altering the genetic code of men and women. And then again, the men were more feminized, the women were more androgynous. And so you have this going on. Plus all the plastics we've been exposed to, plus all the xenoestrogens, plus all the, it's 50 years. It has taken them to, two or three generations to finally get it down to the point where these people have become violated, physiologically and biochemically, and they should be suing the governments, the respective governments, and they should be suing these corporations that put this stuff in the food supply. We got away with it because, okay, us being from the 50s, our genetic code was pretty much still intact because we got whatever code from our parents, and they didn't have all these things going on. They didn't have chemtrails. They didn't have genetics. They didn't have the vaccines. Even then, there was hardly anything. So when we came along, they added silicon dioxide in the food in 1960. So basically, I had 4 years of clean eating.
so it's kind of like what happens in pharmaceutical problems where they give a lot of farms, Tony. They call it stacking. When they start stacking these things, then all the things kind of extrapolate in the body. You're saying the same thing happens with the adjuvants and the additives and all that kind of stuff, silicon dioxide.
Yeah, it collects. Okay, a lot of these things you can't. When you're young and you're eating whatever your parents give you, and it's got any of these endocrine disrupting chemicals, they put a lot of estrogenic compounds in them as well, so that when the women put the makeup on or put any kind of cosmetic thing on her face, anywhere in her body, it now absorbs through the skin and causes more imbalances. So let's say you're a mom and, you know, you're copulating and you want to make a baby and you are now have been exposed to high levels of endocrine disrupting chemicals. You will absorb that through the skin or through the digestive system or whatever. Now it gets passed into the placenta. So now the genetic code of that child is being altered just by the chemicals. You're putting in a new program. Every time you eat something or take something in, it converts to whatever and gets utilized. Again, if it's a protein, it's going to go where it's supposed to go. But if it's a chemical, it's going to go in there as well, and it's going to start creating problems in the construct, if you will, of the child.
Okay. Tony Pantelo, let's go right before the break. Let's go ahead and give a little formula. A couple people are wanting to know how they like the proportions. They like instructions on the Epsom salts and the borax for a bathtub.
Oh, for the bathtub?
Yeah, that's what you said is one of the easiest, quickest, nicest things you can do.
No, no, I mean, you drink that.
Oh, wait, I thought you were talking about putting it in the bath.
No, drinking, consumption.
Oh, okay. Well, but if you take Epsom salts, man, that'll make you like stay in the bathroom for a couple hours.
No. You're not guzzling the whole thing down.
I see. But if we're doing the pure sulfur, you wouldn't need that, would you? Or the magnesium?
I still want to do it.
Okay, because you like the magnesium again, component in there.
Because especially for the women, aluminum is the most toxic, one of the most toxic metals for women because it's a metalloestrogen. And one of the things that this Epsom salt will do on both ends, the sulfur and the magnesium, is it either pushes the aluminum out or it collects it and takes it out. So this is one of the things that it's a win-win. In that you can add a magnesium citrate with your sulfur. I mean, that would work just as well. The reason why I'm going with that, because this is, again, for the common
pretty simple,
guy.
Yeah, and it's easy. It's available. You can get it at both the... hardware. I mean, a lot of people carry Epsom salts, and it's just pure. So, what would you do as far as a internal dosage for Epsom salts and borax that you mentioned?
Okay, put a teaspoon of each.
Teaspoon of borax.
Yep, each.
Okay.
Liter. That's 1,000 mils. 17 ounces of water. 17 to 20 ounces of water.
Okay.
And just dissolve it and just sip on it throughout the day.
So you're not doing like one tea each. Yeah, okay.
No.
So you got one tea of the Epsom salts, one tea of the borax. Both can be had at the pharmacy, the Walgreens or, of course, you take your life in your own hands. If you walk into Walgreens, they want to vaccinate you. But, you can get some. It's like crazy. It's like, hey, kid, would you like? I went in there to get some Epsom salts the other day and said, how would you like a vaccine, a flu shot? I said, nah, I don't think so. In 20 ounces of water, one teaspoon of each, and then a little sip, and that helps keep things moving. Okay, Tony, stay right there. We have lots to talk about. We have some good emails coming in. If you'd like to ask Tony a question, we don't do medical advice here, but as you can tell, he's not shy about giving his opinion about stuff. It is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. If you'd like to try some pure 100%, 99.999% pure sulfur, it's not very easy to find. There's probably only two or so on the whole internet that is like that, and ours is one of them. Well, we don't sell ours on Amazon or anything, so get ours, and ours is comparatively priced to the other ones that are pure sulfur, and so you might as well support us, right? And it costs more than the other stuff, but it's just pure. It comes in 2 1-pound containers, and we recommend about a teaspoon twice a day, but you can play around with it. Some people take more, some people take less, and it really helps, Stephanie Seneff talked about with the glyphosates, helps that sulfur cycle get back in there, what Tony mentioned on the liver, so it'll help the glutathione thing and keep things moving. Tony also recommends you do a little magnesium if you can do our sulfur, so, get some kind of magnesium, and I think he said magnesium citrate, and we'll confirm that when we come back. If you like more than 4 pounds, and people order more than 4 pounds all the time, email me, Patrick@oneradionetwork.com, Patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll hook you up with a discount for more than 4 pounds. I've been kind of playing around with getting my just breathing easier, just, you know, I'm just kind of working organ by organ, say, okay, how can I juice this up a little bit? There's nothing wrong with my lungs. They're fine. But boy, the deeper you can breathe and all of that. So I looked in the book that Tony turned me on to years ago called Aromatherapy by Jerome, whatever, Valde or whatever. I'll get the real name from Tony. I have it downstairs. And I looked up lungs, and one of the cool things for lungs is time. It's time. So I thought, well, that's great. The lung time is 3 to 5 a.m., so you can really get specific, and if you're going to work on the lungs and just get them stronger, healthier. I got a little diffuser that I purchased from Living Libations, and I got some thyme from Living Libations, and this is what I wanted to mention. You talk about the purest of pure essential oils and things that Tony mentioned, cosmetics. This is the cleanest place you're going to find anywhere on the planet as far as putting stuff on your body, in your body, for teeth, for essential oils, for makeup, for perfumes, for hair. Just read those ingredients and then it'll just kick your booty. I mean, that's very exceptionally clean. This lady is over the top persnickety about where she sources things. Living Libations, and she's got some diffusers. You can get yourself some of the essential oils and play around with them, and they're very, very powerful. And who would have thunk that thyme is a tea? Yeah, thyme, you know, rosemary and thyme is good for your lungs. So I was up about 3 o'clock. I said, oh, man, lung time's coming up. I'll just put 5 drops of thyme in my little diffuser and go back to sleep here and have a little good stuff for my lungs. Why not? Fun, fun, fun. Living Libations are right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Stephen Huer and why the uniqueness of One World Way delivers exceptional benefits.
A non-denatured, truly pure, truly raw whey protein will only help to raise glutathione. And when you raise glutathione, you have to remember every cell of the body, your pancreas, your liver, brain, all are dependent upon 10% of the protein content and every cell being glutathione. And makes that cell detoxify itself of heavy metals, chemicals, and whatever drugs. And then that makes the cell healthy. And one of the reasons that you have chronic disease is because the cells of the different organs and bodies are producing too little glutathione. They're succumbing to the free radicals. They're succumbing to the toxins, damaging the function of that organ. And that's one of the reasons why One World Way is so profoundly therapeutically powerful, because every cell and every organ depends upon high levels of glutathione. And this is the number one food to fuel it over long periods of time is glutathione production.
One World Way offers 4 very, very good tasting flavors, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and unsweetened, unflavored. Click and order One World Way right now on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Our love is alive. And so we begin. Foolishly laying our hearts on the table. Stumbling in. Our love is a flame burning within. Now and then firelight will catch us stumbling in.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
It's the second Monday of the month, and that's when we get to talk to Tony Pantelarasco. He's up in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, where they don't do vaccines or GMOs or chemicals at all. He lives in a pristine area, no chemtrails, and it's just, I'm just kidding. Okay, 888-663-6386.
I want what you're smoking.
The queen is protecting Tony. The queen flies over with a big umbrella and just protects, because he's a subject, and we always like to be subjects rather than objects, but don't get me started with the queen. Okay, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Tony, you can go on YouTube. And what's the name of your YouTube channel thing, Graham?
You can either type in Herbs Plus Beadworks or my name, Tony Pantelarasco.
Tony Pantelarasco.
152 videos to
152 look at. Videos? Oh, really? I mean, what's the wildest, craziest, most popular video that you've done? Let's see.
You know, it's...
Let me just put the most popular, because you do all of yours are crazy. They're great. I mean, they're out of the box, right? Your stuff, totally out of the box. Nobody else is doing the kind of work you're doing with this thing. But say, what's the most popular? Have you ever looked at that and say?
I've gone through it. When we first started out, the iodine was number one, and the cologne was number two. But now a lot of them are over 100,000 views, you know, and so I've been getting people, I mean, contact me from all parts of the planet, letting me know that they see our videos. It's been a lifesaver. It's helped. It's changed their lives. You know, I get this kind of thing all the time. The people will call me up out of the blue. I've got people in the United States, for instance, call me and just to call to thank me for the videos, you know, that Dave and I myself put out.
Nice.
So yeah, so like it has been an impacting and again an arming, if you will, people so that they are not dependent on anything medical. You know, a lot of some of those formulas that we give, for instance, the ginger, onion, and grapefruit formula, that one can be used in place of a statin. It'll do the same thing that the statin does without causing DNA damage. So these people who are on statins are having their genetic code being damaged. It actually bleeds out to CQ10, which then causes the vitamin E in the body to become a free radical. So also breaks down the joints, and it causes all, and then eventually it brings you back to what your problem was in the first place, your heart. It wipes out your heart as well. So nobody should be on any kind of statin drug. Initially, when they gave statins out, it was after a surgical procedure, an open heart procedure. And they gave it only for about 2 weeks, just so that the blood would stay thin enough so it wouldn't put undue stress on the heart, undoing whatever they fixed. Now they're prescribing this stuff like candy, and I've seen people come in my shop here, but their hands are purple.
Oh.
Because what's happened is the cholesterol that's in the arteries that coats and insulates the arteries and the veins so that when the blood is flowing, it reduces the friction. They don't have it there anymore, so when the blood hits the tips of their fingers, the blood vessels burst, and then they got this bleeding or bruising going on. I had one woman come in one time. She was both hands purple right up into her wrist. I said, look, you better go get some vitamin C and start pumping this stuff like crazy, because if that gets to your heart, you're done.
You're done.
So she got on it, boy, and I'll tell you, she did what I told her, and she came back about 4 days later. It was all but a slight trace was gone. And I told her, you don't need to get on that drug. I said, that drug is going to kill you. But my doctor gave it to me.
Yeah,
so she was an elderly woman who had been programmed by the system to believe in a doctor. So,
and then to add insult to injury, as you know, it lowers the cholesterol so badly that the body can't even make tea. So then they got to go back and they get Viagra because Mr. Happy is not happy. It's just ugly.
Well, forget about the tea. Talked about the brain, because you got 20% of your frontal lobe has fat in it, and that's the first place goes after.
Goes right to the
brain. Now your brain doesn't have the fat to function either.
Wow. Pretty
so
ugly.
So like it's a lethal drug. It really is. And again, this is being, again, prescribed like candy. You know, it's like what are they doing? Now anybody who's got nano poisoning or what they call Morgellons, everyone's got Lyme. This has been a broadcast prognosis now. Everybody's got Lyme because they're not dealing or telling the people the truth about what's really going on. So, and like I said,
so they're telling them that they have Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Ah.
And they don't have it. Matter of fact, there was a consensus a couple years back that everybody who's getting, that had gotten tested for Lyme, 9 out of 10 of them, the tests were erroneous. Some of the Canadian medical people started looking at some of these tests and started examining some of the people in Canada who had gone down to the U.S. and found they didn't have Lyme. They had something completely different. So this has been the big widespread thing going on to just basically blanket everybody with this Lyme. Then they're giving them medicines for Lyme that isn't working. Like I said, everybody I've talked with who has called me for that, I tell them right off the bat, they tell me their symptoms. I said, that's not Lyme. You got nano poisoning. You got Morgellons. And so then I proceed to get them on the protocols that they need to get on. And one guy contacted me and said, I've been suffering for 10 years. I says, 10 years? You don't have Lyme for 10 years. You can knock it out in 5 days with a zapper if you had one. Even a TENS machine would knock it out. But I said to him, if you got all these symptoms, go follow the protocol. He did contact me 3 days later and said, this is actually working. He says, I can actually feel somewhat normal again.
Tony, I know that, you know, Lyme has such a spooky origin, you know, this whole bio thing and the military and guys, you know, Lyme, Connecticut and all that. Is there an actual virus that has been determined to be Lyme that came from some lab or somewhere that people could actually contract, or is the whole thing bogus, morogus?
Well, you can get Lyme from tick bites.
That's what we hear,
But again,
I don't know.
Okay, down the south where you are, you got a zillion types of ticks down there, and nobody's getting Lyme.
I know. People get tick bites all the time. So
No, as I say, it's a blanket thing they're throwing up. In Canada, we have over 100 species of ticks here in Canada. There are over 300 species in the world. We have 100 of them here.
Whoa.
Nobody has had gotten Lyme all this time. With all as many ticks as we have, as many wooded tree areas that we have here, nobody's got it. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's got it. Something's not right.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? Yeah, it doesn't make sense what's going on. Okay, Patrick Timpone. Well, none of it makes sense, but what do we do? Good morning, guys. So all those TV dinners I ate as a kid in aluminum foil with all those chemicals wasn't so good in the 50s. It was probably pretty clean food. I mean, you know, it probably wasn't all that bad. I don't know what these things were made out of back in the 50s when TV dinners came out. It was probably cleaner than it is than processed food is today, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, it would definitely be cleaner. It wasn't much healthier.
You're fine.
The aluminum, when you use aluminum on anything, it absorbs in the food, and you don't even know how long. I mean, the stuff is pre-cooked, put into an aluminum-sealed container.
Right.
Then probably deep frozen very quickly. And again, you don't even know how long it's been there before. So there's going to be aluminum contamination for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime you put aluminum in everything and you put heat to it, it's going to transfer.
We had a fellow on from England, Dr. Exley. Have you ever heard of him? He's been studying aluminum for 30 years or so. We have the podcast on our show. It's quite interesting. Christopher Exley, Exley, the toxicity of aluminum. He said this is one of the weirdest things for the brain and all that. He was mentioning there's a thing, there's a substance in Fiji water called silicon, S-I-L-O-C-C-O-N, that actually takes aluminum out of the brain. And people were saying, well, could I take this? Could I take this? He said, no, that's the same thing. That's different. Do you know of a source of the same thing in this water that's been proven to take aluminum out? And so you don't have to go out and buy Fiji water, which is expensive?
That's been the big thing. You know, somebody was advocating horsetail. But again, after looking at the research, I wouldn't go near any form of silica. You can pull that out just as easy with any sulfur product.
With any sulfur, So you don't need Fiji water. Just do your sulfur.
I would combine, if you really want to get it into the brain, combine the sulfur with sodium EDTA. You want the salt. Anything that you're dealing with the brain, whether it's a brain cancer or any kind of brain issue detoxifying the brain, you have to have salt. Salt detoxifies the brain. So any salt,
like sea salt, salt time.
Any salt goes, gets in there because it brain requires salt to again produce the synapse connection, the electrical spark or the communication. Mm-hmm. It's a state solution that it transfers it through. So saline is salt.
So
the salt detoxifies the brain.
Yeah. So what did you mention before? You could do separately sodium what?
Sodium EDTA.
EDTA, and you could take that with your sulfur. So if you know somebody maybe with Alzheimer's symptoms, get them on our sulfur and the sodium EDTA and see if it would work for the brain. See if it would...
You know what? It would be better for that. Yeah. It would be oleic acid.
Oleic acid with the sulfur?
Yeah. No, just by itself.
Just by itself.
I was going to talk about acids today because everyone's always talking about being alkaline, right? Alkaline. But the problem is with that is if you disrupt the acids in your body, you become dysfunctional. There are four acids in the stomach that have to be there in order to protect the gut, the intestinal tract.
Yes.
Well, without them, you get tumors, you get cancers. In fact, oleic acid, lactic acid, acetic acid, which I'm going to really talk about. This one blew me away. And propionic acid all kill cancer cells. acids do kill cancer. So it's not necessarily you have to be on a high alkaline diet. You have to be on a balanced diet and a clean diet, and then you have to put in the body the right chemistry to offset what's going on. Oleic acid was one of those things that, I mean, from regenerating myelin sheath, this is an acid that actually restores the myelin around the nerves and around the cells. So a lot of times when you're talking mental issues, Parkinson's or whatever, they found that people who had low levels of oleic acid suffered a lot of these issues. Now, your dementia people, those people there, they're usually low in B12 and folic acid. And when you put them in a ferment and you give that to them over a period of time, you see changes. With the Alzheimer's and the Parkinson's, it's the myelin that's going in the brain.
Oh, the sheath itself in the brain, in the brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, this is one of those things they can use to help restore and replenish that. I combine it with wheat germ oil and taurine because these all repair the myelin as well. So this is one of the things that you want. The sulfur will help in detoxifying. If there is any kind of toxicity going on there, it'll help clean that up. But to actually repair it, you need things like oleic acid, you need things like wheat germ oil, you need things like saturated fat, taurine. These all protect cellular integrity, can help, again, in supporting the myelin.
Gotcha.
And did you know, I was going to ask you this one, did you know vinegar is a anti-tuberculosis remedy?
I didn't know that.
I started doing my research on acids because I'm going to compile a list of acids that our bodies need and utilize to protect us. And I was looking up vinegar, white vinegar now. I'm not talking apple cider vinegar. I'm not talking white vinegar. You buy it at the grocery store. Again, I'm going to go back to the common person who can now afford to go and get healthy. By consuming it, the time frame was almost amazing. Like 30 minutes, it would bring it down to about like 80%. Cancer. This thing was amazing on cancer. Everything that they tested this thing on, any type of cancers, they tested on the cervix area where cervical cancers can be. They tested on three different things, humic, HATA, I think was the other one. Anyway, three different ones. And the results were the same. The HeLa cells, the humic cells, and another one. And when they put it on there and they applied it to it, within 1 hour... 1 hour, Patrick, cancer was done.
Really?
Done. Done. It broke it to pieces. Done. Wiped it out. And this is something, again, that you can apply for even skin cancers or even orally. And the amount that they used, this is what was even more mind-staggering, was a 3 to 5% solution. What you're buying at the grocery store is 5%. 3 to 5% we're getting results like this like you wouldn't believe.
You're talking about with just
white vinegar.
White vinegar you get at the grocery store, the cheap stuff, just the big gallon bottles. That we use to clean the floors with and stuff like that.
It was used to sanitize things as well.
Sure, yeah.
They compared it to alcohol. And alcohol wouldn't touch half the things, not even close to half the things that the vinegar did. Even bleach didn't touch some of the things that vinegar did. It was like, it was mind-boggling, the effect this had. And it's a very cheap, inexpensive material. So let's say you did have a respiratory, let's say you had tuberculosis or you had pneumonia, whatever. You could take a little vinegar and mix it with some iodine. You got the perfect remedy. Or you could take turpentine or kerosene. Again, another cheap and inexpensive remedy that cures these issues. So you've got a variety of things that are right at your fingertips that have been in plain sight all this time but have been masked or have been concealed in such a way, or they've said it's a poison. You know, iodine is a poison. Turpentine is a poison. Kerosene is a poison. Vinegar,
don't take that orally.
Yeah,
I'm going to put the skull and crossbones on that. Don't. I think I was in error on the Fiji thing. Lynn writes me, Tony, the substance in the Fiji water, salicylic acid, S-I-L-I-C-I-C, is the stuff in Fiji water. It's supposed to take the aluminum out. Salicylic acid.
The salicylic acid is the only thing that breaks down silica, like actually breaks it down. But if it's already in an acid form, I'm not sure what that will do because it really shouldn't have any silica in it. It shouldn't. So if it's the acid, I wouldn't know about it. I'd have to really look that one up. I know what silicic acid does because that's what they use in the industry to break down silica when they're manufacturing this stuff and using it. But it's the only, like, you know, when you go into a rock shop or you go into a flea market or whatever, and you're buying these semi-precious stones, you know, the quartz material, well, that quartz is a pure silica. The when you're looking at just about all the stones that people are wearing, like lapis or agates or whatever, all of them have some form of silica and aluminum or both.
Okay.
When you actually look at the compositions of these things, yeah.
Uh-huh. Here's an email. When camping, what could we use instead of chemical repellents for mosquitoes?
Didn't we just cover that?
Yeah, I thought we did, but maybe they just tuned in.
Okay, well, take B2 orally, take black pepper orally, and get some essential oils. You know, I wouldn't hurt to get either a peppermint, pennyroyal, or a cedar or a pine, and apply it on you. Apply it on your clothing. Anything you can do to mask your scent would be to your advantage, especially if you're going out at a time of the year when these bugs are coming out. Again, you want to protect yourself. Hey, speaking of that, I got to mention something real quick. Up here where I live, I got friends of mine who live out in the county, and they got greenhouses and they got whatever, right? And so they're telling me this is the first year that they have not seen any bugs. Like the whole yard, everything was dead, dormant, nothing. So they're always going into the greenhouse to pull out insects like butterflies or moths or other pests that are in the greenhouse. But she said this year there's been none, not even any bees around. And now I'm talking in Ontario. So something is changing in the environment. And one of the things that they've been doing is they've been spraying nano silver in the fields as an insecticide. And that could be causing, again, untold damage with the bacteria in the soil. It would wipe everything out it touches. So again, something is up. Something is going on now. So this is unusual for this time of the year here not to see any kind of bug. I'll tell you, I don't even see bugs splattering my windshield hardly anymore.
Well, they're
driving down the highway.
They're spraying bug repellent for you. They're just trying to take care of you, Tony. I would send them a letter. You know, I know Tony. we live out here in the country, and I mean, for the first 15 years lived here, we had thousands of wasps. You know, thousands. They would go under the lanai that I have a roof covering to catch the rainwater with a big space. You know, it's a perfect spot for them, right? And I would just, of course, not mess with them. They're just thousands. And I can still see some of the nests that have been there for years. And you know what? About 5 years ago, they started thinning out. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I've not seen maybe one wasp or two wasps. I mean, what happened to them?
Yeah.
What happened to them?
You're going to blame.
What happened to
them? They're going to blame the neonicotinoids or whatever, which would be a contributing factor. But the reality is the aluminum, the barium, the strontium, the thorium, the mercury, the cadmium, the titanium dioxide, the zinc oxide, all that stuff that's in the atmosphere that they're spraying is coming down.
The bugs either die or go somewhere else where they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's what's going on.
Yeah, I know things like wasps. I mean, they're really good to have around. They eat a lot of, you know, they eat ticks, they eat, you know, a lot of stuff, and they pollinate things, and, you know, they're not going to hurt you. I don't know where they are. They're just not here. Okay, we got to do another little break here. Tony Pantelaresco, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. I'm on a little muscle building kick. Yeah, we're having some fun building some muscles. And one of the things I'm doing not every day, but probably 4 or 5 times a week, is I'll do my burst exercise thing on the rebounder. And now I'm using weights. And then maybe I'll do jumping jacks with 3 or 4 pound weights. And it's pretty cool because when you think about the G-force you get, and you can see the science on that. So say if you go up a foot on the rebounder and you have maybe just 8 pounds in your little hands, by the time you jump and the impact on the body, it triples it. So it's like you're really lifting 24 pounds, and you try to do jumping jacks with 24 pounds, and you're not going to do it very long. But you can do these 4 pound weights on a rebounder for as long as you want, you know, not as long, well, pretty long. So it's a pretty cool way. You can build up some muscles and keep firm regardless of how many revolutions you are around the sun and your biological, chronological age, who cares? Just do it, get some little rates, and you can run in place and do the burst exercise and really build your heart up. These are beautiful little units. They're $339 delivered. There's a lifetime warranty. Rebounders, they're going to last forever because there's a lifetime warranty, and they don't do a lot of replacing, I'll tell you that. I've had mine a long time. Every now and then a spring breaks, and you can just call them up, and they'll send you some more springs and put them in. But they're really, really cool. They're more efficient than jogging, and you're not going to crunch up your knees and stuff and your hips than jogging out on the pavement, which is not good. The Rebound Air Rebounder, $339 delivered. Click and order on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's Master Herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone, and it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women, is that we have this microgram more than they do, and then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click and order any Easter Thrival link, different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price. Take your pick right here on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Listeners to the variety of programs on the One Radio Network have in many cases picked up on Wednesday's Real World of Money featuring Andy Goss. SDL Incorporated, Andy Goss's company, specializes in the purchasing and sale of American gold and silver coins. Many of the listeners have become familiar with Andy Goss as he has spoken about the central banks and their ability to create unlimited amounts of fiat or unbacked currency. The expansion of the money supply by these central banks around the world has actually created a very bullish market for gold and silver coins. Those who have listened to the shows have picked up on many of the points of accumulating gold and silver coins. Those who may be new, please feel free to call us for additional information anytime at 1-800-468-2646. That is SDL Incorporated, American Gold and Silver Coins, 1-800-468-2646.
Well, if you listen to Wednesday's show, you know that Andy's a terrific guy, really cool. He's one of us. He's not out to sell a bunch of stuff just to be selling things. He's way beyond that. They treat all these customers like they're family, and they're not going to sell you anything that you don't need, and they'll work with you, whether you got $300 a month or you want to just buy a one-time thing of some pre-65 coins. He's got those. That's kind of fun. They call them junk silver, but it's 99% silver, so it's not junk. So anyway, you can do that or just talk to him. His number is 800-468-2646. Gold is up a little bit today. Silver's up a few cents, but boy, it's just really pokey this summer. 1214 for gold, 1574 for silver. Some people conjecture that silver, when it does break out, and we think it will someday, who knows when, it's going to break out more percentage-wise because of all the industrial uses for silver and how much now it's being put in nano silver. Did I say that? That we don't want. Stock market's 21,400. Oil is up a little bit, and gold, and I mentioned that. So there you have it from usgoldcoins.com. This is Andy Goss's company.